Welcome, 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 Lineup Logic fans. You are listening to Spartanzilla, your host, for the December 28th edition of the Fantasy Fast Break. You're getting two episodes this week as a special gift for all of you listeners. Schedules allowed for another episode to be aired and uploaded, so we'll get that out to you. To break down the Friday night in the NBA. As a solo pod tonight, take no days off. Mr. Jeremy Lopez is out today, so I'm going it solo, but I will guide you through the best plays as I see them for the Friday night slate in the National Basketball Association. We'll go through Vegas like we normally do. We'll give you the over-under, the lines. I'll give you those key plays. And then at the end of the podcast, we will build a lineup on DraftKings. So that's always a fun part of this endeavor. So again, for those that are unaware, the best way to get involved with the Lineup Logic community is through the patreon.com/lineuplogic for $10 a month. You're going to get access to all the tools that are available for all the major sports and all some of the minor sports, if you will, in the DFS landscape. So $10 a month, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Folks such as myself, Roto Juan, Spectre, Jeremy, Mr. Take No Days Off, are in there, and a cast of thousands in there. Ready to answer questions, to kind of be engaged, and to have fun with this great DFS hobby. So patreon.com/lineuplogic, $10 a month gets you access to all of that. So without further ado, I'm going to walk us through the game-by-game breakdown on this wonderful slate, which has a lot of replays from the Wednesday night that was in the NBA. So we will start in Charlotte with the Brooklyn Nets going to Charlotte to take on the Hornets. The over-under is 221. The line is Charlotte at 4.5-point favorites. Looking at this matchup, Brooklyn is a much better squad than I think a lot of folks realize. They're right there in the thick of the hunt towards the back half of the Eastern Conference. You know, in playoff position. So for me, the Brooklyn plays, I think, of most note in this game with a good a good over-under 221 is the backcourt of Brooklyn. It's Dinwiddie and Russell. Dinwiddie coming off a nice matchup in his last matchup. And they sort of alternate off of who's going to have the better game between the two of those backcourt mates. So Dinwiddie comes off the bench, but gets basically starters run. Russell, definitely a GPP boomer bust play. Like either of those in this matchup. Also, the one in early Kirkuks. I'm going to get that name right before too long. But Kirkuks at his price point of 5,200 for the Nets is also a play. He's coming off a pretty impressive game matchup, double overtime matchup, I believe it was, with 41 DK points. So he's a play I don't mind as well. Also, Jared Allen against Charlotte's front court that's, again, not really formidable. Cody Zeller does not scare me at all. So I don't mind Allen on the Brooklyn side of the ball. On the Charlotte side of the ball, I'm only really honing in on two players, and that's obviously Kemba Walker, and that's Jeremy Lamb. If I look at Walker on DK, his price is 9,100, so it's up there. You know, he's coming off a very good performance in this game that, you know, we just saw, you know, in the the double overtime matchup there, he went for 55 points. So will he go for 55 again? Perhaps not, but you know, could he get to 45? It's probably likely in this game. It's a pace up. So Kemba, Jeremy Lamb, if you're desperate, I'd say you could use Cody Zeller as well. He's 4,500, so his price has dropped down a bit. In fact, I don't think you need to be that desperate on this big slate. So just go with Lamb and Walker and move on about your business for that game. So moving on games to a game that should be a fun matchup, two Eastern Conference foes, my Detroit Pistons going to Indiana to take on the Pacers in Indianapolis. The over-under is 205.5. Indiana is a 6.5-point favorite. On the Detroit side of the ball, the production is really concentrated with Blake and Dre Drummond, especially for DFS purposes. Blake, as I've mentioned on this podcast before, playing at an all-NBA level. Detroit's coming off the victory on Wednesday night. Blake, I like this matchup he's got. You know, he's going up against Thad Young and going up against Sabonis. And so the defense, will be a little bit tougher than some of the other Eastern Conference foes that Detroit is tangled with. But I like Blake in this matchup. He's only 8,400. So I know it's a pace down spot, but like him a lot. Dre, I don't mind. He's going to be in a battle with Miles Turner. So that'll be fun to watch. If I've got to choose between the two, I'd go Blake over Dre, but I don't mind either one of them. Reggie Jackson, coming off a nice performance in his last matchup, is still underpriced. He's only 5,100 on DK. And, you know, in his last outing, he put up 32.5 DK points. So if you're going to tell me he can 6 or 7X at 5,100, I'm plugging him in. So I know it's a pace, kind of a neutral pace or pace down spot there for Detroit going up against Indiana. I don't mind Reggie Jackson on this slate as well. Reggie Bullock is kind of a thing as well. He can get out from the outside. He's, someone if you're kind of filling out your last build, I don't mind him at 4,300. But that's kind of sort of it with the Pistons. I don't usually play Langston Galloway or Stanley Johnson or any of those other guys. On the Indiana side of the ball, Victor Oladipo, all everything player for them. He is questionable for the game, so you'll want to monitor news going into lock tomorrow. He has a bit of a shoulder injury, but I think he's at this point, taping this on the Thursday night, I think he's probably looking more likely to play. He's probably closer to probable than questionable. But just monitor the news on Victor Oladipo. If he doesn't go, obviously Tyreek Evans could be a thing, but he's also questionable as well. I like Miles Turner, as was mentioned, in that matchup against Dre Drummond. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth thing with the two bigs. Thad Young has played well of late. He's 5,700, so don't mind his price on DK coming off a 32-point. Effort, a DK point effort, and over the last 10 he's averaging about 30 DK points, so don't mind Thad Young, and also don't mind Sabonis as well. He's 6,200. He doesn't start but gets basically starters minutes. His last time out he went for almost 30 minutes and he's a little over a fantasy point a minute at 34.5 points. So Sabonis is also a good play. So even with the kind of middling over-under 205.5, I like some plays on both sides of the ball, and it'll be a fun game to watch from just an NBA standpoint if you're a fan of the association. So moving on to the Sunshine State, the Toronto Raptors, probably the league's best team, going on the road to take on the Orlando Magic. There's no line in this game right now. And there's no over-under. We do know that Kyle Lowry is out. Excuse me there. And then, so that kind of is probably what I think is holding up the line there in this game. But with that being said, we can still find some plays from the matchup here with kind of the best and worst in the East. I guess Orlando's not the worst in the East, but they're not one of the better teams in the East. On the Toronto side of the ball, without Lowry, Kawhi becomes a must-play. We'll want to watch for news. I've not seen anything that he's going to sit, but we definitely want to watch for Kawhi in this one and make sure that he does go. If he goes, I like him a lot. Talking to Jeremy before the pod a little bit or throughout the day today, he's noted this before for all of our Slack chat users and our patrons, that with Ibaka on the floor and Lowry off the floor, Ibaka's usage just tanks, and he's just a different performer. Excuse me, with Lowry off the floor, so Ibaka's sort of a fade in this one against Orlando. Even though there's a bit of a revenge narrative there as well, I do like Siakam. I like Delon Wright and Van Vliet in this game, and we'll have to see what the line's at, but I would think Toronto's probably 8 to 10 point favorite on the road is probably what I think Vegas will ultimately pick this at. But I like those four Raptors in this matchup. On the Orlando side of the ball, Vooch is always a good play. You know, there's not really much in the Toronto front court with the JV injury, and you know, Greg Monroe, we know, is not a defensive stalwart at all. So Vucevic could do well in this matchup. They'll probably play Serge a little bit at the five there to maybe try to combat Vooch a little bit, but I don't mind Vooch in this matchup as well. Aaron Gordon's a guy that's also somewhat viable. He's 6,500. He's somewhat of a disappointing player. He's got all the talent in the world, but he never gets those huge ceiling games that you want out of him. I mean, he's probably right at about 5X, and so he's fine, but don't feel like you have to force him in. And realistically, you know, I've rostered Jonathan Isaac, and he's not a guy I'm really looking at in this matchup. Or Evan Fournier, again, not a guy I'm rostering in this matchup, where I think there could be potential for Toronto to run away with a little bit. So really only on the Magic side of the ball, it's Nick Vucevic. That's really all I have in that one. So I'm going to move up the East Coast, and we're going to go to the nation's capital, where the Washington Wizards will host the Chicago Bulls. The over-under is 216.5. The Wizards are 5.5 point favorites. This one is a game that you may want to look at and do a little bit of deeper dive on some of the parts and pieces of this game. With the Chicago side of the ball, Chris Dunn is back and he's playing well. You know, his price is 6,900, so it's more than fair on DraftKings. He's averaging over the last 10 days, he's averaging, you know, about 35 DK points. So I like him in a bit of a up-tempo matchup. I feel like Vegas is a little bit under on this one, you know, 216.5. I think it could go definitely over that total. Zach LaVine is back, but it's just rotationally we have to figure out what's happening. It looks like he's going to start. And so if he starts, I like him. Again, he's never seen a shot he doesn't like. So LaVine is a thing as well on the Bulls side of the ball. Also, Lauri Markkanen, you know, with LaVine back, that kind of eats into a little bit of his production. And he's 7,200, but again, I don't mind playing him because, you know, the minutes are secure at about 30 minutes a game, and he can definitely 5X that 7,200 price. The last Bull that I'm looking at in this one is Wendell Carter Jr. He's less than 5K on DK's 4,800. He kind of started the season well and went in a bit of a funk. In his last matchup, he went for 27, almost 28 DK points. So I don't mind him against basically a depleted front court in the Wizards. So actually kind of, this is one day that I actually looking at a lot of Chicago Bulls here. On a Wizards side of the ball, Wall and Beal are always in play. It's all a matter of whether or not John Wall wants to play, if he's trying to work his way out of getting out of D.C. You know, there's some rumblings on him moving addresses at some point, or Beal. So I think probably for the betterment of their team, they probably should move one of those two guards and try to do a reboot there. But John Wall at 9K in this game, where I think it's going to be over the total, don't mind him at all. Obviously, Beal, definitely a good play at 7,800. Seems a bit underpriced. He's probably like an 8,500 player in this matchup, so don't mind Beal. You can look at Ariza as well in this matchup, 5,600, especially Otto Porter's out, so don't mind Ariza. And then Markieff Morris potentially, or Jeff Green, if you're looking on the kind of budget side of your build. Let's see, Green's 41, Morris is 44. I maybe prefer Morris, Markieff a little bit to round out the Wizards play. So a lot of goodness in the Chicago-Washington game. So definitely a stackable game for your Friday night in the association. Let's move it along. Let's go back down the coast and let's go down to Miami, and the Heat are hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. The over-under is 198.5, so really low. Miami's 9.5-point favorites against the depleted Cavs. Cavs side of the ball pretty easy. Tristan Thompson is not back yet, but looks like he's practicing. So Cleveland plays really of note are going to be Larry Nance still, while Thompson is still out, and potentially Colin Sexton. He's right at 5K. That's a pace down matchup. That one I'd have to think about a little bit more. So I Sexton's one of those, if you're, you know, filling out your roster to just kind of end maybe in that guard spot, I don't mind Sexton, but on this big slate, we could probably find some other plays. So I'm talking myself off him as we're going through. So really just Nance Jr. Don't need to force it here on the Cleveland side of the ball. For Miami, Whiteside should feast in this matchup, presuming that he gets his full run. So Whiteside is a thing. And obviously Justice Winslow with the injury to Goran Dragic. You've got Winslow running point guard. So he's set for some fantasy goodness. And he's 5,800 on DK, so don't mind him at all in this matchup. And then maybe Josh Richardson, again, probably my own personal bias. He's 7,400. This is not a high total game, so but he has produced in the absence of Goran Dragic. So Richardson, Winslow, and Whiteside, the only ways you really need to look, I think, on the Miami side of the ball. It's a game, if you're playing anything, no need to stack. Probably just look at Miami and move about your day. All right, let's move out to the middle part of the country. The Atlanta Hawks are taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The over-under is 230. Minnesota, 9.5-point favorites as well there. For the Atlanta ball club, Alex Lynn is out. So with him being out, Dedmon is a piece that's a very usable in this matchup at 5,500. We know Karl Anthony Towns is allergic to defense. Dedmon should be able to get a double-double, so get that bonus there on DraftKings. So don't mind him at all in this matchup. Also, Ken Bazemore. John Collins is also a thing. Very good young player. Collins is at 7,700. Again, you know, Minnesota, you know, it's funny, they bring in Tom Thibodeau as this defensive guru, and the defense has gotten a little better, you know, since they kind of figured everything out with Butler moving on to Philly. But I still am not necessarily afraid of Minnesota's defense. It's the young guys just not really buying into Tibbs' concept. So I don't mind Collins. Don't mind Dedmon, don't mind Bazemore. And, you know, if you want to YOLO it a little bit, Trae Young at 6,400. He's going to see the defense of Derrick Rose because Jeff Teague is out. So Trae Young, boomer bust, GPP play. You throw him in a lineup. You know, if you're doing mass multi entries, you know, maybe, you know, 5% exposure to Trae Young. I don't mind it because he can always hit for one of those big, 35 point real life games and get you maybe like 50 DK points. So don't mind any of those Hawks players I mentioned, especially with that 230 total. On the Minnesota side of the ball, a little bit more concentrated. Derrick Rose has had the resurgence coming off that great game back home in Chicago, where he went for 43 DK points. He's playing. He's relatively healthy. He's 7,100. Do I think he can 5X against Atlanta? I do. It's a pace-up matchup. So I like Derrick Rose a lot in this one. Also, you know, Cat, you know, Atlanta's front court is, you know, defensively is decent with Collins and with Deadman in there. But that doesn't necessarily bother me from not, you know, looking Cat's way. So don't mind Cat as well. Robert Covington, also a play for me. He does a lot of other things other than score the ball, and he can fill up the stat sheet in a variety of different ways. So don't mind him as well in this matchup. Not really on Saric. He's not really, I think, a favorite of Tibbs. Wiggins, sub 6K pace up matchup where he can get up and down. You could use him, but just be cautious. It's definitely GPP, not really a cash game play. But I do like that price at sub 6K for Wiggins. So just you wonder whenever the light is going to go off for that kid to really live out his, you know, potential, all the athletic ability in the world, but just, you know, just the low motor and doesn't seemingly, you know, love the game of basketball is what it would appear. So like a lot of parts on this one, again, kind of along with that Chicago-Washington, a game to kind of take a look at for some stackability things that, you know, some others might not be on. Let's move on to a game that was just played on Wednesday, and that is the Dallas Mavericks going to the Bayou to take on the New Orleans Pelicans. That's also a 230 over-under. New Orleans, 5-point home favorites. Looking on the Dallas side of the ball, there's three players in particular that are of note. Luka Doncic, who's sneaking off with the Rookie of the Year award in the association. So he's questionable, but it looks like he's likely to play. So I like Luka. You know, Wes Matthews is out, so that, I think, helps a guy like Harrison Barnes, who I'm also looking at in this matchup. A high-tempo game, and we just saw this matchup. So there's that. Harrison Barnes at 5,600. He went for 24 points, DK points, that is, in the last matchup. So don't mind him. Don't mind him as a way to kind of just fill out your build, especially if you're kind of going balance. And then DeAndre Jordan, who is out to just get rebounds and block shots, which is fine. He's under 7K. He went for 40 in this last matchup, on Wednesday night. So, and that was putting up 20 and 12. So I think he could probably get 12 in his sleep. He's probably more like, and that's rebounds it is. So I think he's probably more like 15 to 17 rebounds tomorrow night. And he's probably about 12 to 15 points. So he's probably right in the pocket of that 40 again. So DJ, pretty easy one to go with for Dallas on Friday night. Looking at New Orleans, we have no Mirotić again. So obviously Mr. Davis is in play. He's 11-6, so he is pricey, but he's one of the surest things in the league from a production standpoint. If he's healthy and he's in the game, he's probably going to get close to value. So Don't mind the brow. Jrue Holiday and Julius Randle kind of round out my New Orleans exposure in this one. Looking at Holiday, he's sub 9K on DK. He almost put up 50 DK points this matchup just on Wednesday. So you can go right back to the well with him. Julius Randle's found the new home in New Orleans. On Wednesday, he went for 34.5 DK points. I would expect about the same output, maybe even a little bit better playing a game at home. So a lot of goodness in this one as well, and pretty concentrated production on the New Orleans side of the ball. So should be an interesting back-and-forth game there. Let's move on to the Rocky Mountains and the San Antonio Spurs taking on the Denver Nuggets. Denver's the host. The over-under is 214. The Nuggets, 4-point home favorites. For the Spurs in this matchup, DeMar DeRozan has found a home. The Spurs have played better over the last 10 games, got themselves back in playoff position. So DeRozan in the last matchup, I believe these guys just played down in San Antonio on Wednesday. And this is, again, Friday is the rematch night in the association. But, you know, DeMar went for 51, almost 52 DK points against Denver. I see no reason why he can't do the same thing, you know, on Friday night. You know, you've got him. You've got LaMarcus Aldridge, who's only 7K. You know, 7K, he put up 37 against Denver in the last matchup on Wednesday. So I like him to do about that same, have that same production. So don't mind LaMarcus as well. Bryn Forbes, a guy near dear to the Spartanzilla's heart here. It's 4,200, so definitely a salary saver that you could go with on the San Antonio side of the ball. Probably not on Patty Mills or White or any other Spurs pieces. Oh, the one Spurs piece I did forget is Rudy Gay, and he's 5,700. He only put up 21 DK points, but I'd like him to change that game a little bit up in Denver. So DeRozan, Aldridge, Gay, maybe Bryn Forbes. Got to be on brand with Spartan love. So those are my pieces from San Antonio. On the Denver side of the ball, Murray didn't have the greatest game. Jamal Murray didn't have the greatest game in this matchup on Wednesday. So I like people to be off of him, and he may be a way to go. He's 6,600. Yeah, he hit for less than 20 DK points. So he's definitely in play in the slate against San Antonio, who's actually kind of more pace up than one would think. Than they've been, you know, traditionally. Jokic also always in play when he's on the slate. He's sub 9K. It's 8,800. He only had 26, so people would be off of him. He only had 26 DK points in the last matchup on Wednesday with these two teams. But he can just get it done in Friday ways. I'd like him to have a bounce back as well. So Jokic and Murray for me. Monty Morris is also a piece I like to use on the Denver side of the ball. You know what you're getting. He's sub 5K, so he's definitely a 5, 6, maybe even 7X candidate. So Monty Morris, especially with some of the injuries to the backcourt for Denver, is another piece for me. Don't really go to too many other places in Denver. Hernan Gomez had a nice game. Plumlee, don't really like him. Lyle. So it's really Jokic, Murray, Morris, kind of my Denver production, because, you know, the rest of the front court, it's kind of a muddled mess there in Denver until they get, you know, some guys healthy like a Millsap and these type players back. So should be an interesting game. Again, they just played each other, so there's always that. Let's move out west for our final two games, and the first of which is in Phoenix, in the Valley of the Rising Sun. The Phoenix Suns are hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder. The over-under is 224. OKC is a 6.5-point road favorite. Now, just looking at notes before taping the pod, it looks like PG-13, Mr. Paul George, is questionable for the matchup, so you'll want to watch news there. If he plays, I like him. Obviously, Russ is a stud. And if PG doesn't go, Russ is pretty much lock button for me. Even if PG does go, I like Russ in this up-tempo matchup. So George, Westbrook, Adams, Schroeder, that's about where I go most nights with OKC. Friday night being no different, those four players always in play in what I think will be a up and down, back and forth type matchup. Jeremy Grant is also a piece that's usable from the Oklahoma City side of the ball. So, but really, it's the four guys I mentioned: Russ, PG, Adams, and Schroeder. That's probably where you want to go for your OKC side of the ball. For Phoenix, Devin Booker coming off a monster game. Definitely like him in this matchup. He's 8,500, but you had to pay a little bit for him, but definitely do like him. TJ Warren, also a very solid play. This matchup, really consistency is the name of his game from a DFS standpoint. So TJ Warren's always a guy you can get in, and you can just pretty much pencil in for, 25 to 35, maybe even 40 DK points. So don't mind TJ Warren on the slate. DeAndre Ayton. I'm a big fan of him. If you've listened to this pod at all, you know how much of a fan I am of his. He's 7,300. He's got the tough defense of Steven Adams, and Adams may, try to do some old vet moves to get him in foul trouble. But if he can stay on the floor, I mean, he's averaging 30-plus minutes a game. I like him at 7,300. Very fair price for Ayton. So DeAndre Ayton's another guy, along with Warren and Booker, I like. And actually, thinking about this game, it's definitely a stackable game. Get your late night hammer, or mid to late night hammer, because it's a 9 o'clock Eastern start out there in Phoenix. So like those parts and pieces of the matchup there with OKC and Phoenix. We will close up shop for the Friday night slate with the battle for the City of Angels, where the Clippers are technically on the road against the Lakers. There is no line because the Lakers game is going on right now and no total. But if I look at some of the plays of note in this one, on the Clippers side of the ball, like Lou Williams. Lou Williams, is a bench guy, but he gets starters minutes, so you always – you're going to treat him for DFS purposes as a starter. His price shot up to 6,600, and that's in large part to his last outing last night, getting up for 41 DK points, and he's averaging over 34 DK points over his last 10 days. Williams is a guy, produces well, plays fourth quarter minutes. He just fills it up, so his price went up $200 from, coming off the Golden State game into the Kings game. Like Lou Williams a lot. Like Tobias Harris. Think he is a emerging star in this league. So Tobias is also definitely in play at 7,600. In his last matchup, he put up 31 DK points. But, he can go. He's a guy that can get it done in what's going to be, I would imagine, a very pace-up game with the Lakers. The other pieces, Gallinari, don't mind him at all. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, if you're looking for a salary saver, don't mind him at all. He's 4,400. He had a bit of a cut in that game in his last time out, but he should be set to go, so don't mind him. On the Clippers side of the ball. And obviously Montrezl Harrell, big performance in his last matchup there on Wednesday, 6,400. You might want to get him now before he becomes a 7K player. He's just putting up numbers, in that last matchup. So his price went up actually $700 from where he was last night against the Kings. He was only 5,700. 6,400, I still don't mind him. Again, he's about 25 minutes a game. So, you know, you can do a lot worse on the slate and get the late night hammer with a guy like Harrell. So, like all those Clippers. On the Lakers side of the ball, obviously LeBron James is going to be out for an extended period of time, it seems like, from all reports, with the groin issue. So that opens up some opportunity for the young players. So your Lonzos, your Kuzmas, your Ingrams of the world. I know they're playing right now against the Kings. You know, we'll see what happens in the outcome of that one. But Ball, Kuzma, Ingram, even Hart, Josh Hart also, you know, plays that are very viable. Ivaka Zubac has now emerged as the man in the middle for the Lakers. His price has shot up. And again, we'll see what he does tonight, you know, during this taping. But, you know, if McGee is out again, which I believe he will be, Zubac is still a plug and play on DK because he's, you know, probably, you know, based on that recent production, he's probably a 6,500 player. He's priced under 6K. So Zubac is another guy I really like to use from the Lakers side of the ball. So the young Lakers all in play, Kuzma, Ingram, Ball, and then Mr. Zubac as a play. I mean, if you even want to go dumpster diving, Lance Stephenson, I don't necessarily hate. It's not going to be the first on my list. Or KCP, you know, sub 4K. If you're going to stars and scrubs approach, KCP, you know, again, with the injury to LeBron, that makes kind of a difference, you know, with all the players. Biggest beneficiaries are Ingram and Kuzma from a usage standpoint. If I look at usage, and we also want to check Rondo's status as well, because Rondo is out for tonight. But without Rondo and without Mr. James on the floor, biggest beneficiaries in terms of usage are Kuzma at 32.7% usage rate, and then Ingram at just under 30% usage rate. So those are your two big guys that see the bump without those two leaders of the team on the squad. So that is the game-by-game breakdown. Pretty good slate, pretty big slate. Like it. There's a lot of different ways you can go. So let us try to do what we do, our thing here, and try to build a lineup. We'll build one for DraftKings. So I talked a lot about OKC and Phoenix, and so I wanted to get my roster started with players from that game. So I talked about this guy. He's under 11K. He's probably a 12K player. Russ Westbrook, I need you to join the squad. So I'll put you in at point guard. And then I'm going to run it back. Devin Booker, he's a shooter. And shooters, when they get hot, definitely want to target them. So, you know, Booker and Westbrook, start our build right there. And then, let's see. I talked about this guy in the Atlanta-Minnesota game. And with Alex Len out, minutes are pretty secure. Dwayne Dedmon, I'll put you in the middle right there. Put you in there at 5,500. All right, let's go from there. Let's go to another game I targeted. That's Chicago and Washington. Get this young player in, Mr. Wendell Carter Jr. Put you in at power forward. Okay. And then that leaves me with 48-33 a player. All right. So let's go to the small forward spot. Let's see who we can find here to help our build. Well, I like to kind of keep us somewhat balanced here with the remainder of the dollars here. Let's do this. Mikal Bridges. We didn't mention him a lot in that Phoenix game, but he's only 4,100. If he gets me 25 points in a pace-up matchup, I'll take it. So I'm going to put him there for for now. Let's see how that looks. So 5,200. So I got some money to play with. So I needed to save that salary. So that's why we got him in there. So I need to fill a forward and utility. Forward and utility. Okay. So let's see here. At my forward spot, I want some more of that Phoenix OKC love. So I just saw him. There he is. TJ Warren. We can put you in at forward. So it leaves me 4,100 in the utility spot. 4,100. It's going to be tough. But we can do it. We can do tough things, as they say. We can do tough things. 4,100. What's down here? Ross, Bam, Jeff Green. Let's go with Bam Adebayo and put him in the utility spot, 4,100. Blowout, maybe he gets the run. Maybe Whiteside only plays, you know, 2.5 quarters, and Bam gets the run there. And, you know, we can see what he does. Let's put Bam in there for now. See what that looks like. So this lineup has Westbrook, Booker, Mikal Bridges, Wendell Carter Jr., Dwayne Dedman, Justice Winslow, TJ Warren, and Bam Adebayo, and no money left over. All right, let's try to do one more build. We'll do one more build and do a little bit more balance to our build this time. All right, let's do that. So I'm going to start at point guard. And I'm going to put in Derrick Rose, coming off that nice performance. So I'm going to Derrick Rose there. At two guard, I'm going to put in some of my shooting guard. Go a lot of different ways. But I'm going to go with Chris Dunn in that Washington game. Small forward. I like this guy a lot. Justice Winslow, put him on the squad. All right. So I've got 6,000 left. Got a lot of money to play with now. So let's go center. You know, we talked about what he did in the last game. They just played each other. Let's put DeAndre Jordan at center in this lineup. All right. I still have 5,850 left. Got a lot of money to play with left. See what we can do. See how we can dance. We can make this dance here. All right. Still need some exposure to OKC Phoenix, TJ Warren. Put him at power forward. So I've got 5,700, three spots to fill. Let's go to the guard. Let's get that backup guard. I like a couple names I'm seeing here. OKC Phoenix. Let's go Dennis Schroeder. 5,300. Put him in there. So I've got 5,900. I got plenty of cash. Build a nice lineup here in this more balanced build. Let's see. Okay, we get the late night hammer. Let's put this guy in here. Montrezl Harrell. Put him at the forward. So I got 5,400 to fill this utility spot on DK. And where can we go? Where can we go? You know what? I'm going to do this in an effort to save time and have you all stay tuned. Okay, here we go. We're going to go with Reggie Jackson. We talked about him in Indiana being underpriced. So this is a very much more balanced build with some upside in parts and pieces of this. This is Derrick Rose, Chris Dunn, Justice Winslow, TJ Warren, DeAndre Jordan, Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, and Reggie Jackson. It leaves me $300 left. That's a more balanced approach. And when you think about Friday slate, maybe balance is the way to go over a Stars and Scrubs approach. But again, take your time with it. Research it. Hopefully, you get some time to research. Enjoy the basketball. If you have questions at all, please at me. I'm at Spartanzilla on Twitter. I'm at Spartanzilla for purposes of the Lineup Logic Slack. Be more than happy to answer your questions. Love interacting with all of you guys. Appreciate you guys downloading and listening to the podcast. like us and review us on iTunes and the other places you listen to this podcast. And for all the folks at Lineup Logic, we wish you a profitable Friday night in the association. We'll talk to you later. Take it easy, y'all. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth.